Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you've just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International. Welcome to our special Ramadan edition of Socially Speaking. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, first up, this morning is our Ramadan feature, Words from the Wise. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, we are almost in the last third of the blessed month. In fact, I can say we are there already. And alhamdulillah, we do have some time left. In a day, we will begin our, in a few days, of course, we will begin our search for the night worth a thousand months, the crown jewel of this holy month, the night of power, Laylatul Qadr, inshallah. Well, now is the time to renew our intentions, check our progress, and stay motivated. If you feel your enthusiasm slowing down, your old habits are creeping in and boredom setting in, then give yourself a pep talk. The holy month of Ramadan is still here, worth Allah's special blessings, worth His mercy and His forgiveness cascading upon us. Now is not the time to slow down. Think about the good deeds you have managed to start this month of Ramadan, and alhamdulillah, you know, say alhamdulillah. Make a firm intention to keep doing them after the month of Ramadan. Which goals have you not managed to reach? Well, don't give up. Keep trying. Are there any bad habits that you conquered? Appreciate the achievement and give some charity out, thanking Allah for His help. Don't stop making dua, especially at tahajjud and sehri time, and of course before iftar. Duas can make the impossible a reality with Allah's permission. An athlete that's going for gold will never slacken or give up in the middle of a race. So stay focused and keep reminding yourself and others about the virtues of this precious month with its blessed moments, and grab the rewards that are on offer till the last day. May Allah help us to increase our ibadah and of course stay strong and motivated till the end of Ramadan. Ameen. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum once again, and yes, this month, or rather we are into the final 10 days of Ramadan, alhamdulillah. Unbelievable, but it's true. So please, no time to slow down. We must stay motivated, we must stay focused, inshallah. This month is truly a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a chance for us to make positive changes in our lives. And, on Socially Speaking, this month, as we've been doing this last few weeks, we are focusing on making those positive and lasting changes, inshallah. And once again, we're speaking to psychology major and honors student and life coaching enthusiast, Sister Sakina, on making changes and improving our lives this month of Ramadan, inshallah, and always. And for this week, we will continue our reflections on self-awareness. And inshallah, that is the first segment of our program. To conclude our program, we will be crossing over to KwaZulu-Natal, where we'll be speaking to Mulana Muhammad Venker, and he will actually just be sharing nasiha or advices and thoughts that will, inshallah, keep us motivated and inspired for this blessed month of Ramadan, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Sakina. It's very good to have you online again.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a pleasure to be speaking to you again.
Alhamdulillah. Welcome to Radio Islam International. And, how is the Ramadan going thus far?
Alhamdulillah, just over too quickly. It's just passing us by before we even realize.
Yes, and certainly. Well, let's get into our program. Well, if a person is not self-aware, the chances of him or her making changes in their life greatly decreases. Now, last week, Sister Sakinaya spoke on what self-awareness was. She went into details about the type of questions we should be asking ourselves to see if we are, self-aware. And she also spoke about how self-awareness was linked to change and the signs of a person who is self-aware. Alhamdulillah, she also spoke to us about the signs of a person who is not self-aware. So, alhamdulillah, Sister Sakina, once again, just a brief recap. Can you just summarize the meaning and the importance of self-awareness for us?
Okay, self-awareness is a wonderful, wonderful level of knowing oneself, understanding one's strengths and one's weaknesses. It's about being honest about who you are, what your capabilities are, what your limitations are, and it comes with a very high degree of self-acceptance, which is key. A self-aware person understands their past, their family that they grew up in, the thought patterns, the injunctions of their parents, grandparents, the extended family, if they grew up in an extended family, and how all of these thought patterns, people, experiences, habits have shaped them. A self-aware person can honestly and critically look at these injunctions and see what serves them and what doesn't serve them. So I'll give you an example. A person's mother may hold on very strongly to the injunction that the scale is something to be afraid of. So she dreads her weigh-ins, she obsesses about every single kilo lost or gained. And this mother may be unconsciously passing down this injunction or thought pattern to her daughter. The daughter then grows up with a very healthy outlook on exercise and nutrition. She starts off her journey obsessing over the scale until one day she decides that, wait a minute, this is not my injunction. This is an injunction that my mother believes in. It's not mine. I am doing away with the scale and I'm focusing on my nutrition and my exercise. Now, do you see what happened here? This is a higher level of self-awareness that she's reached, and she's combined it with positive action. I'll give you another example of how a person holds on to their parents or grandparents or injunctions of the extended family. For example, a person's father may hold on to the injunction that we do not speak about our problems, or if we act like everything is okay, everything will be okay. So the son or the daughter grows up and holds on dearly to this thought pattern. Even though he or she knows that deep down inside, they might feel better if they talk about their problems and address them through open communication. Now, until this person does not decide for themselves that sweeping problems under the carpet is not my injunction, this is the thought pattern of my mother or my father, whatever the case may be, this person will never be able to be authentic. So this is what self-awareness is about. It's about understanding who you are on a number of levels. A person is not just one layer. If you peel an onion, it's layer upon layer. So a self-aware person can look deeply and with insight at all these different levels and can see the patterns, the unhealthy ways of thinking and habits that have been passed down to him or her, and in that way they can start to change. Now remember, a person can never be fully self-aware. My lecturer always says that none of us have reached guru status. She keeps telling us that. And this ties in very closely with what our Islamic scholars say. We can never say we know enough. The more we know, the more we realize we don't know. So this is a journey of self-awareness. It is a lifelong journey of self-awareness. I think till our deathbeds, we keep on discovering more and more about ourselves if we, you know, make that intention and if we are on an intended self-journey of self-awareness, then that will be the case.
Alhamdulillah. So how then can we, use self-awareness to harness positive changes, especially during the month of Ramadan?
Okay, so obviously if we are self-aware, then we will be able to understand our talents, our limitations. We can tackle the month setting realistic goals. So, for example, a self-aware person is not going to make an overzealous goal and then come the last 10 days of Ramadan feel crushed when they cannot achieve this goal. Like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us that small, consistent steps in our ibadat is what is more pleasing to Allah than, you know, being overzealous and overambitious, and then we do a good deed for a week, for example, and then we lose steam and we find it too much, and then we stop for about 2-3 months, we stop, and then after some time we feel, oh, okay, and then again we set a very unattainable goal, and then in that way we keep disappointing ourselves. So a self-aware person would understand that, you know, what they are capable of and what they are not capable of, and set their goals in Ramadan accordingly. A self-aware person would also understand their triggers. So, for example, a person may know that a certain negative person triggers them to have feelings of resentment, resentment and, you know, bitterness, or, you know, they may feel, not in a happy space after being with a certain person. So they can make an intention that in the month of Ramadan, as far as I can, I will keep my distance, and I will, you know, keep good akhlaq. This is better actually for good akhlaq and for good family ties or good ties with the person. So rather than, you know, allowing myself to be in that space where I'm going to be triggered in a negative way, I know myself, so I stay away so that I can, improve my behavior accordingly. A self-aware person will also be able to recognize the excuses that we give in Ramadan. So, for example, we can catch ourselves when we say, I'm too tired, or I just can't make zikr after asr. You know, it's an excuse that we do. You know, I need to get into the kitchen, or I need to do this, I need to do that. So we give ourselves these excuses. So a self-aware person will be able to catch themselves and say, wait a minute, this is an excuse. If I really set my mind to this, I can make a goal, set a goal for myself, and I can achieve, you know, what I'm actually making excuses about. And whatever the goals are, a person will be aware of their own blockages and will try to change that if they really want to.
Okay. So basically, it depends on you entirely. Hello?
Yes, are you definitely. There? Oh. Definitely, yes.
Okay. Now, if we are struggling with self-awareness and change, then, you know, are there some steps, or what steps can we take to make it actually happen?
Okay, this is not an easy state of mind to achieve. Some people really have blockages that are so ingrained from childhood, ingrained from, you know, like I said, these injunctions passed down from parents, from grandparents, that it's actually impossible for them to step out of the box and see these or become aware of it by themselves. And if you look at the society that we live in, we are constantly being bombarded by messages in the media. For example, consumerism, you know, people are trying to sell us things everywhere we turn. You go onto Instagram, and there you have, like, so many posts coming up of somebody trying to sell this to you or that to you. And so those are messages. And then we get messages in social media regarding, you know, our weight, our body images. We get messages regarding so many different aspects of our lives. And then we are bombarded, on the other hand, by opinions of people that we are meeting on a day-to-day basis. So our, family members will have a certain opinion, friends will have a certain opinion. So if a person is not self-aware, this causes confusion within the person. I'll give you an example of ads that we see on Instagram. You know, you'll just see like a beauty product pop up. And then if you look at the comments at the bottom, you'll find so many comments saying, I need this, or I have to have this, or, you'll find people tagging their friends or their contacts, you know, to say that, you know, this is the next thing we need to buy. And if you really think about it, you know, is this really a level of self-awareness? Because do we really need to buy every single product that pops up on the market? And then if you look at an example of the opinions of people, look at the example of a new mother. So a person has just had a baby, and now this person is not really self-aware. So this person can actually, this new mom can actually get so confused with all the different opinions. Mother-in-law has one opinion of how to bring the child up. Mom has another opinion of how to bring the child up. Then aunties and people visiting also give you, you know, you're hearing about 10 to 15 different opinions every single day with all the visitors coming in and every article that you read. So at the end of the day, if you want to be a confident person, you need to be a self-aware person. If you know yourself, you will know what messages to sift through, which products are for you, which products are not for you. We don't end up with a closet full of things that we are not wearing because we have been aware when buying things. We have been aware when taking on messages of how to bring up our children. We have not taken the opinion of every single person around us and made it our own because we know we are aware of who we are and what we believe in. So this is self-awareness, and this is not an easy state to reach. This is where a person might need to access the help of a coach or a therapist. And if a person is not for the life coaching route or a therapist route, it seems burdensome to some people, which is understandable. If it's not for you, then I would recommend that you do readings and increase your knowledge on self-awareness. And if you research cognitive psychology, you know, there'll be a lot of insightful information on your limiting thought patterns and that type of thing. So, you know, that could be a start if you are not one for seeing a life coach or seeing a therapist. However, I find working with therapists and coaches can accelerate your growth immensely. I myself have seen a therapist, and I am currently seeing a life coach once a week to help me. So even though I'm a life coach in training, I have my own life coach, which I see regularly, and I find she gives me a whole new, you know, way of seeing things and different perspectives, which is so, it's so wonderful. It's so insightful to be able to learn more about yourself and the way the world works and the way people see things. And it's just, it's an amazing experience that really, really opens up your mind. And to be aware that life coaching is not just for mental health issues, but it's for every single person. It's for healthy people. It's for people who, are fine, but they may be experiencing a certain, you know, blockage. They may be feeling like they're in a rut. They need some motivation. They need to get out of this, you know, rut or way of thinking. And, you know, if they need somebody to help them push themselves, then, you know, that's everybody. Life coaching is then for everybody. You know, we don't need to be suffering from some kind of illness or anything to see a life coach.
Alhamdulillah. Just one question. You know, we're already in the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan. So perhaps you could just give us some advice, some listeners, some advice as to, you know, what they could do this 10 days to keep them going, Alhamdulillah.
I would say the best approach to take in these last 10 days would be the practical approach. So look at your month and look back on the last few days of Ramadan, the days of Ramadan that have passed, and, you know, be honest with yourself about how far you've come and where you've neglected your ibadat, where you've neglected your goals for Ramadan, and where you can improve. And then I would say sit down with a piece of paper and, you know, practically draw up attainable goals for the next few days, the remaining days, and see, you know, where you can meet them, and definitely make a firm intention, as well as obviously, you know, setting practical times to fulfill these different tasks, times that suit you and your family, because each situation is different. And then, you know, sitting down and making sure that these goals are on paper, these goals are in black and white, and making a promise to yourself and trying your level best to attain these goals in these last 10 days. Inshallah.
Well, Sister Sakina, Jazakallah khair. And, you know, if the people would like to find out or learn more about your life coaching.
Okay, they can follow me on Instagram at Life Coaching with Sakina. And inshallah, from next month, so from the 1st of July, I will start my life coaching sessions. But right now, I'm still in the process of learning quite a lot. And if they want to know what I'm learning or what issues I'm dealing with, like I said, Life Coaching with Sakina, that's the page to follow on Instagram. And inshallah, you'll get all the relevant information in due time.
Inshallah. Well, Jazakallah khair. And please remember us in these auspicious days that are coming up. And we certainly will remember you in our du'as as well. Jazakallah khair. And we'll speak to you again next week, Monday.
Inshallah.
And I can't believe it. It's the last Monday of the month, I think.
I know. It's just flying. Jazakallah for the opportunity.
Jazakallah khair.
Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, that was Sister Sakina. She is a psychology major, honors student, and a life coaching enthusiast. And she's talking to us about making those changes and improving our lives this month of Ramadan. And hopefully it will last forever, inshallah. When we return, inshallah, we hope to speak to Maulana Muhammad Venka. Inshallah, stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Coming up is our weekly nasiha with Maulana Muhammad Venka from KwaZulu-Natal. Assalamu alaikum, Maulana. Jazakallah khair for joining us this morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakallahu khair.
And how is your Ramadan thus far?
Alhamdulillah, Ramadan is going so fast, you know, before we are at the tail end of this blessed month of Ramadan. So we ask Allah, you know, to accept whatever little, you know, we can never, never, ever do justice to this blessed month of Ramadan. So whatever little we do, we ask Allah to grant us acceptance, grant us istiqamah, inshallah, steadfastness, and grant us the ability that we can change our lives, inshallah, for the better.
Ameen, ameen. Walana, you can continue.
Barakallahu feekum. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. Respected listeners, we begin by praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We send countless blessings, salutations upon our leader and master Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his honorable companions, his household, and those who follow him. I just want to focus on two aspects that I just reflected on earlier on. One is on zakah, mm-hmm. and number two is with regards to sharing gifts. I just want to speak about this, subhanAllah. You know, number one is with regards to zakah. We find that many a times that, you know, people give zakat. You know, there's a person who is a recipient of zakat, and you tell the person that I'm giving you zakat funds. Now, this is something which is not necessary. You know that the man is the recipient, or the family are recipients of zakat. You don't have to tell them. Many a times you're going to embarrass the family. And on the other hand, you find people who tell you that I am the one that accepts zakat. More than often, you know, you shouldn't be giving them zakat, because these are people that they are beggars, and they've made that into a profession. So you'll find that, like you're driving on a street corner, many people feel that, you know, these are recipients of zakat, looking at the outward condition, because they are beggars. Remember, many of them are not recipients of zakat. So we need to investigate. You know what many of us do? We take our zakat, we give it to certain organizations, and, we feel that, my duty, I've done my duty, my obligation is discharged. No, until the recipient of zakat do not receive the zakat, your zakat is not discharged. If it is sitting in a bank account, your zakat is not discharged. So that's very, very important. We need to try ourselves to go and identify and look for families. You know, there are recipients of zakat. And I promise you, respected listeners, you don't need to travel to another country. I mean, many, many a times you drive down the road, perhaps 2-3 kilometers, maybe 5 kilometers. Go with your family Saturday afternoon on a Sunday. Go and look for these families that are living in abject poverty. I mean, there is an organization. You know, ask them for their addresses. Join them. Go and give it with your own hands. Wallahi, it is so fulfilling, you know, and especially for our children when they see people living in trying and abject conditions, subhanAllah, you know, then they realize that, you know what, they appreciate what they have. Because many of our children are totally ungrateful, you know, for what we give them. You know, they constantly complain. You buy a shoe for them today, next month they want another one. You buy for them a cell phone today, next month they want a new one. Mm-hmm. And, our children are very, very ungrateful. So we need to take our zakat and ideally discharge it with our own hands. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, with regards to gifts, we find many of our children, alhamdulillah, some of them are 5 years of age. You know, little babies, little kids, man. You know, 6-7 years of age. And many of them are fasting, mashallah. You know, they get up early in the morning. Normally they get up at 7 a.m. But now they're getting up for suhoor at 5 a.m. or 4:30 a.m. You know, they're having sahri. They come back from work. You know, mummy is in the kitchen and they're rather hungry, they're thirsty. And we encourage them, we motivate them. You know, it's only 3 hours, it's only 4 hours, it's only an hour left, and the countdown goes. You know, these are little children. So what we should do, we should encourage them, motivate them, and as a token of, them fasting, give them something in return. You know, give them something, give them some incentive, that for every fast you keep, I'm going to give you 20 rands. Every fast, I'll give you 50 rands. You know, how much of Quran you read, I'm going to give you something in return. So this is something that encourages. Encourages our children, it motivates them. The blessed day of Eid is coming. You know, it's a happy occasion to share gifts with one another. What did the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? That hadu tahabu, share gifts with one another. This will unite the hearts. This will remove that animosity, the rancor, the hatred. Between us, you got an issue with someone, send the person a gift. And this Ramadan, let us not carry any grudges in our hearts. If you've got issues with people, let us overlook. You know, forget the wrong, forget the past. Let us move forward, inshallah. If we have wronged others, ask them for forgiveness. People have wronged us, you know, let us forgive them. This is the month of forgiveness. We have done so much of wrong. Yet Allah, you know, forgives no matter what sins we might have committed. If we sincerely turn to Allah, Allah is prepared to forgive. Allah is prepared to pardon. I mean, if Allah can pardon us, you know, what stops us from forgiving and pardoning others? So many of us have this attitude that I will forgive, but you know what, I can't forget. And sometimes we say, okay, I forgive, I forget. Between husband and wife, 1 year down the line, something happens. You remember what you told me 2 years ago? Mm. It doesn't work that way. Let us learn to forgive, forget, you know, for the pleasure of the Almighty Allah. You know, it's such an amazing month. You know, the month of Ramadan is an opportunity for us to redress the wrongs that we've been doing in our life. You know, you find that no matter, you know, how sinful a person is, but in Ramadan, a person is conscious of Allah. You know, he's conscious of the wrong that he does, that you will not, even if nobody is looking at you, a person is fasting. You know, you can have the most sumptuous meal in front of you, you will never touch it. Why? I am fasting. A person is conscious. So Ramadan is there to discipline our lives. And you know, subhanAllah, you know, let us, you know, capitalize on this amazing month of Ramadan. So like we spoke about zakat, we spoke about, you know, sharing of gifts. Apart from zakat, you know, we should give some additional charity also. You know, we know that 2.5%, we work it out, we give it. But from our surplus wealth, give a little extra. You know, there is some, you know, the day of Eid is coming. The domestic servants that are working for us, give them something. Many of them are Muslim, those that are working for us in our businesses. I mean, it's the day of Eid. Let us lessen the burden for them. I mean, give them off on the day of Eid. Give them a little extra, you know, before 1 week before Eid. Give them a few hundred rands that, you know what, take this money, take your family out, buy some Eid clothes for your children. This will make them so happy. I mean, this will, they will make dua for you. This will make, they will make dua. What is the salary that you give them? What stops us? You know, the month of Ramadan, give them a double salary. We normally give them a bonus during the December period. We should need to, inshallah, you know, in the month of Ramadan, we need to increase. You let them leave work a little early. Give them a double salary in Ramadan. Not double, give them a little extra, inshallah. Tell them that, you know what, buy some, you can buy something for Eid, you know, for you and your family, buy some gifts. Really, they will make dua for you. And this is what, you know, what we desire today. If you can't make people smile, don't make them cry. If you can't make them smile, don't make them cry. Bring a smile, you know, to your fellow Muslim's face. And I promise you that smile, you know, it, the du'as that will come out from the person's heart will travel with your generation, inshallah.
Inshallah, Amin. Well, and I just very quickly, maybe to just share some advice or, you know, to motivate us for these last 10 days of Ramadan.
Okay, with regards to the last 10 days of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to exert himself, you know, in the last 10 days of Ramadan, and Nabi alayhi salam used to give up everything. I mean, he used to seclude himself in the masjid, in Masjid al-Nabawi, and Nabi alayhi salam engaged in abundance of ibadat. So what we need to do, inshallah, alhamdulillah, we've been performing our taraweeh, we've been reciting Quran, we're making dhikr, making dua. What we ought to do, inshallah, increase a little. If we're reading one juz a day, the last 10 days, inshallah, increase it to two. Increase our charity, increase our nafil ibadat. These are moments that we need to capitalize on in terms of our dua. Let us increase our duas in the last 10 days. You know, these are the last few moments, like you find in a soccer match. Once the final whistle is blown, you can score 10 goals, it makes no difference. So what we can achieve in Ramadan, you will never be able to achieve this, you know, outside Ramadan. So, and the great dua, the amazing dua that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taught his honorable wife, and this message was not only for them, it was for us. Allahumma innaka afuwun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna. Oh Allah, you are most forgiving, you love to forgive. So Allah, forgive our sins, Allah. Allah, forgive our sins. So we need to, before we enter, inshallah, in South Africa, I'm sure in most countries of the world, the first of the last 10 nights will be commencing on Tuesday evening, inshallah. So we've got today, we've got tomorrow, the entire day. Brace ourselves, whatever we need to do. You know, let us do everything so that we are ready for the last 10 days. We need to exert ourselves. Because what tends to happen is that, you know, well, we entered the last 10 days and the focus is on Eid. So we go eat shopping, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be doing that, but the focus, you know, if we should rather do that today and tomorrow. The last 10 days will be focused exclusively, you know, on ibadah, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Mawlana, for those wonderful words of motivation. And inshallah, please remember us in your duas too, this coming days, inshallah.
We will definitely remember you and the listeners in our duas, and request the listeners to remember us, and especially, you know, those that are suffering in Palestine and in different parts of the world.
Inshallah. Inshallah. Jazakallah khair. And we hope to speak to you again, inshallah, next week, Monday.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Well, listeners, that's it from me today. Until next week, Monday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.